Okay, today's daf in Masechet Shviyit Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Vav. However, we are still on the Halakha Mishnah, which is Halakha Beit in Perek He, is where we're up to. And, wow. So we start today with HaTomein Et Haluf on the bottom of Lamed He Amid Beit. All right, so now we're entering into a whole new area. The area that we're thinking about now is the Chiyuv of Biur. And the question over here in the Chiyuv of Biur is only benogea, those type of things, where, since the Torah said that when you eat, it's atau behemtecha v'chayatcha, are all going to be eating min hasadeh, so then that means at the moment that you do not have free access to the chayot and the sadeh, you do not have free access for yourself or for using this for your behemoth. And you have to get, You have to be mevaeret mirshutcha. Now, what exactly biur means is a big machlokas rishonim. Because according to Rambam, biur actually means that it becomes usur. According to most others, the din of biur is I have to be mafkiret. Now the question is, once you're mafkiret, so what would be the din if you're mafkiret before the zman of biur? Can you go back and reclaim it? Or is it hefker and only to be used for others who are not the Baalim? That turns out to be a big machlokas gufa in the Mishnah, which we're going to be discussing today. So now, you also need to take into consideration that there are those species that don't disappear. Let's say the type of species that are essentially, they are roots, tubers, and things like that, where they just sit there in the ground, and there's not any particular time at which they are ended in the field. They're always growing in the field. So then, of course, there would be no din of biur on those things. So that's one thing to take into consideration. Now, of course, we end up there with the same kind of multiple faces to a growth that we've been talking about in the past, legabe other halachas. And that would be, let's say, you have something that has leaves, and it's usable as a salad, and it also has roots where it's suitable as a potato-like kind of thing, right? Or an onion-like or a garlic-like kind of thing. Okay. So the interesting case that we talk about here is where you actually have onions or types of onions. We'll see exactly what the loof is. And you have already dug them up. So they're not in the field. The best way to make sure that those onions remain fresh is to keep them actually under soil. So you put them back in the field, cover them with soil, and then that allows them to survive instead of putting them in a bin of some kind where they dry out. So now the question is, if you do that, it looks like you're planting. So what would be the din? That's called hatmana, obviously. So someone who is tomein et haluf. So you're coming along now, and you are putting that loof underground during Shvias. Now, what exactly is loof? Okay, loof, so the Rambam says loof is a type of onion. Maybe it's a very particular species of onions. Yeah, Dr. Felix
is... What they sell today is loof?
They sell something as loof today?
Yeah, an onion today. It's like a very fat scallion.
Ah.
Very fat.
And they call that loof? Those are not leeks? No? Okay.
Leeks are typically called loof.
Krisha is called loof today?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. I didn't say anybody suggesting that it's krisha. But okay, in any event, I don't know about the modern usage. Again, Dr. Felix says that it's a reference to really a totally different species. That's called loof. Which you do see around a lot. I think they're even used for houseplants sometimes. But it's a type. It's certainly a type of vegetable, a type of onion kind of thing, right? So the thing is that in order to be mekayimit, it's put underground. And now the question is, you have to be careful that when you put it underground, it doesn't look like you're actually planting loof in the field. So you don't want to spread it out in the field because then it looks like you're making a potato field, so to speak, an onion field. So you have to put a lot in one place. Okay, so what would be the shear? So Rabbi Meir says, well, you have to have, in one area, you have to have at least sa'atayim. That's an awful lot. So in other words, that's in terms of kabim, that's 12 kabim. We'll see why it's good to talk about it in terms of kabim. And it can't be spread out in such a way that it's lower than three tefachim high. So if it's three tefachim high, it's clear to everyone that this is not planting, this is storage, and therefore it could be ad gova shlosha tefachim. And then on top of that, you have to put a full tefach of afar. Why? Because if you were planting, you would never put a full tefach of afar on top of it. And it's clear, therefore, that you don't want it exposed near the surface, but you bedavka want it to be protected. So that's why you're putting it over here. So put all those three things together, the amount and the height and the thickness of the ground cover. So then we don't have any problem of it looking that you were planting, and it's clear that you're being tomein. Tomein is just for purposes of preservation. Of course, there's no isser whatsoever in doing that. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. It is very machmir. The Chachamim say, no, it would be good enough to have just 4 kav instead of 12 kav. So that's 1/3 of the amount and 1/3 of the height. Instead of 3 tefachim, you could have that 1/3 of the amount in 1/3 of the height, which is 1 tefach. So gova tefach. Now, I agree, though, that it has to be clear that you don't want it near the surface to be able to start sprouting, because that's not what you're doing. You're trying to protect it. So because of that, here, too, you need a tefach of afar al gabav. And that we agree with Rabbi Meir. So 2 out of the 3 things there's a machlokas, the amount, the height, but in 1 out of the 3, which is the amount of dirt that you have to put on top, everybody agrees you need a tefach afar, and that gives us our 2 approaches. And what's more, the next thing is that you do this in a place where people generally walk by. So because of that, that prevents it from taking root again. It's constantly being jostled, disturbed, and therefore it doesn't go out and start growing. Fine. Now, the next question is, lagabe the din of biur. So that part of the loof, which is a salad leaf, is shayach to biur. And the part that is underground is not shayach to biur. So in other words, the root or the bulb is something that stays underground. It doesn't ever get ruined, and therefore there's no din of biur on it at all. And now the question is, what about the loof, which has still leaves on it, and the leaves that it has on it are actually mixed, because we're not sure whether we're talking about the leaves that are there from grew during Shvias or the leaves that grew later. How do we understand it? Okay, but what is the din of biur? So we're going to be seeing that the Gemara is immediately going to refer to it, so I'm just bringing it up now. We're going to be seeing that there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, about who has a right to be zoicha in biur. Do everybody, including even the person who was mafkirit, the owner, the original owner, can he come back and be zoicha in it? Or is it only for other people? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's only for other people, which we call aniyim, but it doesn't matter. We call them aniyim. It has nothing to do with the level of aniyas that is a right to, you know, maiser oni. It has nothing to do with that. It's just when we say oni, we mean the other people and not the person whose field it was growing in. Okay, so now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the guy cannot go back and be zochen in himself. According to Rabbi Yossi, even the guy himself who was mafkeret can come back and be zochen in it himself. So now the question is like this. You have loof, and this particular loof over here, we're talking about a case where you planted the loof, Beheter Gomer, you planted it in the 6th year, and it stayed out in the field, it kept growing during Shvias, and now it's the 8th year, because loof can stay for years in the ground. But that would mean that we have mixed loof of Shvias and loof of Shishis and loof of Shminis. And what happens over there? So Lubsha Avra Alav Shvius. It was planted in the sixth year, now it stayed here, now it's in the eighth year. At least that's the way most understand it. There is one Shita, and that's the Rashi's Shita. And he's got a problem, because what he worries about is, why is the loof not considered to be a vegetable that would go kishas lakita? So where the heck do we come off without any of these problems anyway? So he explains that the Mishnah is talking about a case where you had torn out the loof, put it back on the ground after you ripped it out, and then it rerooted. And now there were new parts that had grown after Shminis. Okay, we won't get into the details of that problem because that doesn't concern our Gemara here. So now the thing is, the leaves that grew during Shvius are salad leaves, so they would be chayav in biur. So Rebbe Eliezer says, im lok tuani im et alav during Shvius, and they were the ones who had taken it. So fine. So then, lokot. And there's no problem, because they took everything already that had grown during Shvius. So they don't get anything else. They already took it. But imlav, so now we have the Gidulei Shvius mixed up with the Gidulei Shminis. So now how do I know what I have a right to keep as the owner and what I have to give to the aniyim that actually had grown during Shvius? So therefore, what you should do is yaseh cheshbonim aniyim. You should figure out the proportion, and you should give that proportion to the aniyim. Fine. The Rambam understands the whole thing differently. He says proportion means proportion according to the chelek of each year. And therefore, what you should do is that if you had harvested this loof, let's say 2 years after Shemitah, so then you give aniyim one-third, because you had a total of 3 years of growth, because this was from Shishis. If you let it grow and you were oka the loof 3 years, then you should give them 1 year, which is a quarter, and so on. That's how he understands it, not just to make a cheshbon about what it appears to you is there. Okay, but apparently, Rebbe Eliezer agrees with the Machlokes in Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Yossi agrees with Rebbe Yehuda, that anybody except the owner, meaning that's what we're calling aniyim, anybody except the owner have a right to keep it, but not the owner. So therefore he has to make a cheshbon, he has to give it back. Rebbe Yeshua in there, im laktu aniyim et alav lakatu. It's true, if they took the leaves, then whatever was taken in Shvius, that was fine. But if they didn't, so then they don't have any rights, because now the owner was the one who was zocheh in it automatically. Nobody took it, and he had been mafkir it, and therefore he's allowed to keep it. So ein laniyim alav cheshbon, because he holds, apparently Rabbi Yoshua holds like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi's shita is that the owner himself is able to take it back. And in this case, since the aniyim didn't take it, and now it's the eighth year, and the owner is back in his own field, so what cheshbon would he have to make with anybody else? He was the one who had a right to be zocheh, and he was zocheh. If anybody had wanted it, they could have come and taken it. He said, whoever wants to can come, and that's the mitzvah of biur, according to Rabbi Yossi. So what's the problem? And therefore, there's no need to make any kind of cheshbon at all. So if they didn't take it, they don't have any schus at all to go ahead. Now, again, the Rambam's shita is that nobody has rishus to eat. So how does he understand the Mishnah? According to the Rambam, biur means not hefker. Biur means destruction. So the Rambam's girsa in the Mishnah is echad aniyim ve'echad ashirim ein oichlin achra biur. Not oichlin achra biur. So that according to him, it fits in exactly with his own way of understanding the din, that biur means that you're not b'shum panim v'ofen, nobody's allowed to eat it. Luf shel erev shvius, shel nichnas l'shvius. Now getting back to the ikar luf. Okay, so we've got various things in which there are plants that after you grow to the full extent of the growth, they're still left in the ground. Okay, so we saw the loof is one of them. And the question would be, what's the halacha if they were left in the ground after full maturation during Shishis? And they're left in the ground during Shvius. So what's the halacha on such things? So let's say you have loof that grew Erev Shvius, loof shel Erev Shvius. And Shelar Shemesh doesn't mean it was planted Erev Shemesh. It was Nigmar. It grew full scale to on Erev Shemesh. So, okay. And now they left it there during Shemitah, and it was Nichmas L'Shemesh, and that's very normal to do. Or, let's say, Bitzalim Hakitzonim. So there are these other type of onions that are planted during the summertime. And the same thing is true of Pua. Remember, Pua is that red dye. It's called madder. And they make it, if it's in very good property, shall idit. It's growing in best quality land. So those kind of things are left very often. And in this case, they were left during Shemitah. What's the halacha? Beit Shammai says, Okrinotan, if you want to harvest them during Shemitah, because they are actually perishishis, you have to be very careful that it shouldn't look like you're doing Avedas HaKarka. And because of that, you have to change what you usually use. Usually you would use these metal rakes. Now, don't use metal rakes. So you use wooden rakes. So Bishvias, you can use them, Okrinotan with Ma'afrufot, shall eights, but not of Barzal. That way, everyone will see, well, what's this guy doing? Oh, apparently he wants to make sure that he's going to be careful about Shviyas. We already saw that Yisod in Beit Shammai earlier, that when you make a Shinui, the very fact that you make a Shinui, even though it doesn't make any difference in terms of the actual din of Avedas, there's no din like on Shabbos, that if you do it b'Shinui, so then it suddenly becomes Mutter, other than when the Shinui is a difference in whether you're acting like a Bialim or not. But Stam, any type of Shinui, is considered to be an indication that you're being makbet on Shviyas. So maybe you're taking off from yourself some of the chashashot. If you have to be worried over here, it shouldn't be seen as somebody who's working his field during Shviyas. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, what's the problem? Forget about it. You don't even have to use Ma'arufais. You can use kardumot. And you can actually take these, you know, the kardumas or the pickaxes, which looks like, wow, you're really going for it. And even if they're made out of metal, we are not worried about it because everybody knows that that's a norm. People leave these things, and then why would they be cheshed you? Or, that's one approach, or could be that maybe you should, some understand the meaning of the kardumot is not even the kardumot, but specifically the kardumot, because usually you would use shovels or rakes. Okay, I'm not sure. We'll see whether it could be medayik anything in the Gemara. But Beit Shammai is made at the Beis Hillel, that where you're talking about pu'a shel tzila'ot. Now, it's not clear what exactly these tzila'ot are. So some learning, pu'a shel tzila'ot is, that's where they were planted. They were planted in rocky soil. And everybody knows that there's no way that you're going to be planting things in rocky soil. It must be that you had to like something that was growing there. They're not going to be cheshed you, that you're preparing your field in rocky soil. That's how some learn. Others learn that the idea of the pu'a shel tzila'ot is that it has abs. It's very powerful. It's very powerful pu'a. And because of that, it has deep roots. And therefore, you can't get it out with using an eight. It'll just break. And there, Beit Shammai is made that in that case, you can even use kli barzel. It's totally different approaches. Okay. All right. So this would be one place where we would be made at. Beit Shammai would be made at to Beis Hillel. So it's either because you're in a place that you don't usually plant things in, or because you're talking about pu'a that is very strong pu'a. Totally different approaches. Yeah? Says the Gemara. Okay, now let's take a look at the opening of the Mishnah. Tomeina taluf. So this is specifically luf. I mean,
sorry, what happened to the Amos side? Maybe we must do it later.
What did I do?
The Amos side.
Oh, I'm sorry. I switched over the daf and I didn't switch over to the case of the Mishnah. So now we've got another question. Somebody's choshed on the Shviyas. So how do we know that the loof that he's selling us is not loof that he actually had grown during Shemitah? At what point can we be sure that it would be okay to buy loof and that it would be from the next year? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Miyad. There's no chashash over here, even though normally there's a klal that if you're going to be buying veggies, that the time that you're allowed to buy for people or Choshen on HaShviyas is only Misha Yeh Aseke Yotzebo, from the point that the new eighth year veggies are of this size, otherwise you can't buy from him. That is not, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree with that. He's just saying that by Luf, it's not a problem. Because the Luf, remember, could have been here also from years before. There's no reason for us to think that it's coming specifically from during Shviyas, because the norm is that you could be selling things from a couple years earlier. That's one approach. That's the Groz approach. There's other approaches, and that is because of the fact that the only way that you'd be able to actually gather your Luf during Shviyas was with these Shinuyim that we were talking about over here. So it's too much trouble to be... That's what we'll see in our Gemara. It's too much trouble for a person to have gathered it during Shviyas. Why would he do that? I mean, he can just gather it after Shviyas. Why should he make himself trouble to do things in a way where people are going to insist that he does it with a Shinuy? Okay, the Chachamim say you can only buy Luf in the eighth year if the guy is Choshed, where there's more new Luf than there is old Luf. So, okay, we'll see that is actually... Nogea time, the particular time in the year, but we'll talk about that later. First, let's take a look at our Gemara. Hatomeinu taluf. So, okay, I understand that this is true about luf, but, I mean, what about just regular onions? Those are also usually kept underground. And so, like, why are we miyached luf and regular onions? Are they very different in this whole yisod? Nah, says Rabbi Yonah. Luf, Pitzolim, it's basically the same idea. And it would be exactly the same shear, and we do whatever we would do to Luf, obviously we would do to Pitzolim. Om Reb Yosef. That's not what I would think. I would think that if you're talking about Pitzolim, you don't need so much like you would need with Luf. Because, I mean, regular Pitzolim are very smooth, you know, Shafim, and you can get a lot more Bitzalim into a smaller space. And Yamud Luf, which is a very gnarled bulb, and therefore takes up much more room. And because of that, even less than the four kav, you know, the Tachachomim or the two sov, Rabbi Meir. Even that should be enough. I don't know exactly how much, but it makes sense that it should be less. And the next thing that we said was that the Luf, Sha'avra, Alav, Shvi'it. Now, that means that basically what the machlokas that we have over here is between Reb Blazer and Reb Yeshua is going to be nogea, the machlokas about who's allowed to eat after Bior. So it's important for you to take note of that. So Rabbi Abu B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan says, look, basically it turns out that Reb Yehuda is later on is going like Reb Eliezer in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi later on is going like Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah, which we pointed out when we did the Mishnah. The Tanin and Taman, because later on we're going to see that the Mishnah says that Ha'aniyim ochlim achar abiyur avlo ashirim devi Rabbi Yehuda. It's exactly the machlokas that we mentioned here. So only the aniyim, again aniyim, don't mean literally aniyim, but it means other people, not the person who had planted this field, who owns this field. Was Rabbi Yossi Omer, Echad Aniyim, Ve'echad Ashirim, Ochlim, Achar HaBiur. Okay, I think we should stop here, because we're about to start a completely different sugya, which finally gets us into Svichim, which we've been ignoring all along, and that's the obvious question. Why are we only talking about the issues that we raised and not the issur of eating any of those leaves because of Svichim? Okay, so all of those questions, we'll start Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Meanwhile, we've entered into a whole amazing, beautiful new issues of Shemitah. Alavai, we should be Zecher. Very soon, there should be Nagea, Alochas, that are Diraisa. We'll see tomorrow, it's Machlokas, whether Svichin or Diraisa, Terabona, how to understand the Makor of Svichin. But in any event, Alavai, it should be Nagea very, very soon to have the full excitement of Kedusha, Saratz Yisrael, the way that we had at the end of the last parak. And that we should be getter, those who swung around in the dirt, ran through the Yarden wearing their clothes, That should be the excitement of people coming into Eretz Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem. Yeshua's Hashem, very soon. All right, Kol Tov, everyone. Hoshia Samecha, Vorech Asnach HaVasecha, V'Reim V'Naseim Ad HaOlam.